The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. Talk about throwing cold water onto something. Did you hear this morning's scripture lesson? The whole world wants to get ready for Christmas, but our Bible lesson is talking about the end times and persecution. You will be hated by all men for my name's sake, says our Lord. Whatever happened to peace on earth and brotherly love? A lot of people think that Advent means simply getting ready for Christmas. And I suppose that it does, in a sense, but not the way most of us think. For we define Christmas by celebration, by lights and decorations, by special music and programs, holiday food and drink, get-togethers and parties of all kinds, days off from school and from work, and of course, presents. And all of that takes a lot of work and preparation. Indeed, you have to spend a lot of time, effort, money. And so that's how most of us spend our Advent, or at least our December. But then, if we also happen to fit into those busy schedules, going to church, going to chapel, we are struck by the sobriety of the Bible lessons. John the Baptist preaching repentance, our Lord entering in Jerusalem for his passion, or as here, signs of the end time and of judgment. Well, you know, it's an awkward fit, to say the least, this Advent and this Christmas. But we need both, and not just one after the other, but kind of rubbing up against one another and creating a little friction in our hearts as we contemplate the truths of each. But first, an observation about how we celebrate Christmas. For it strikes me that one of the most prominent features of our celebration is its defiant character. Now, I suppose that this has something to do with the fact that we live here in the Northern Hemisphere, and therefore our celebration of Christmas comes right in the middle of winter, indeed just about the time of the winter solstice. So, when cold and darkness are at their maximum, we celebrate. And how? Well, with light and warmth. Or when nature is virtually dead, well, we celebrate with evergreens and gifts. Or when the land is completely barren, well, we bring out our best food and our best drink. Or when travel is most difficult, well, we celebrate with get-togethers of all kinds. You know what I mean, don't you? And we travel many, many miles to get there under some of the worst traveling conditions possible. In other words, in the face of the worst that nature can do, we do our best. Other mammals kind of go with the flow. They hibernate. But not mankind. We celebrate. Way back in the Garden of Eden, God put mankind in charge of the earth, and that means during winter too. So, we will exercise our authority by celebrating, enjoying life to the max at precisely the most difficult time of year. It's almost heroic. Almost, but not quite. Since Christmas occurs at just the same time that the circuit of the globe is beginning to turn our hemisphere ever so slightly back toward the sun. Now, it takes a little while to notice it. After all, we have to endure January and February, too. But nature is actually on our side and begins gradually to lighten and to warm us in preparation for the renewed life of spring. And we know it. So that our Christmas defiance of winter works only because we know that it is not permanent. Light and life are coming once more. Now, of course, what we're talking about here is only first article stuff. Our life, here and now, in this world, on account of the fact of what God first made us, material creatures in a material world. The challenges of winter and our defiant celebration have to do with earthly life and existence, the right here, the right now. But at the same time that we're planning and even celebrating to a certain extent, the season of Advent intrudes to remind us of another reality, second article stuff, in addition to the first. In our text, for example, Jesus points us to phenomena of history, wars, rumors of war, phenomena of nature, earthquakes, and famine, but not as ends in themselves, but as pointers to the end of time and of judgment. So life in the here and now is not the end of the story, it's only the first act. There's more to come, and we have to be ready, indeed ready, for the end. Moreover, Jesus describes these things as just the beginning of sorrows. And so he adds yet another sign of the times, the persecution of God's faithful. Although in our winter celebrations we bid defiance to the forces of nature, our Christian faith requires another kind of defiance, defiance of society, government, and even family, when they oppose Christ and his people. Perhaps it's hard for modern Americans to take such passages seriously, even if there are signs of religious persecution on the horizon. A federal judge who prohibits pastors from invoking the name of Jesus when he prays before state legislators. Campus speech codes that prohibit Christians from calling sin, sin. Or this rapid normalization of homosexual behavior that will demand of Christian landlords, businessmen, employers, that they acquiesce in such perversity. Yes, I think we can all imagine circumstances in which there will be a price to pay for our faith, right here in the United States of America. But not yet. Not really. No one is losing his life for our Lord here. But let's not forget that our Lord's prediction is being fulfilled in our own times. We were talking to Christians in the former Soviet Union. Many of them would be able to remember personally the days of persecution. And even as we speak in many parts of the globe, in many Muslim lands, perhaps in China, North Korea, Christians practice their faith at great risk to their lives. And as they do so, well, they run the risk of losing reputation for sure, property, freedom, and I think maybe also their lives, if they follow Jesus. So as we respond to Advent and get ready for the end, we too have to reckon with what Jesus has said, and you will be hated by all men for my name's sake, but the one who endures to the end will be saved. But now, where do we get that strength to endure? How do we find the power to defy the forces of hell? Well, if this is the message of Advent, where else can we go but to Christmas? Only this time, not to our celebration, but to the one whom we celebrate. For if Advent reminds us that he is coming again to be our judge after all of these horrible signs, Christmas reminds us that he's already come once as our Savior. If the signs of the end cause us to tremble, and who doesn't to hear that all men shall hate you? Nonetheless, we can be bold by the power of him who has already rescued us from sin, death, hell, the one who did battle in our place with the devil and prevailed. It is Jesus, the victorious one, who now promises forgiveness of sins, life, salvation, his Holy Spirit. All this to bring us safely through to the end. As in winter, we can defy the forces of nature because we know that spring is coming. So also in life, we can endure because we know that Jesus is coming. Because of him who first came at Christmas, we are more than conquerors. And that means that nothing at all, not wars or rumors of wars, not earthquakes or famine, not persecution by tyrants, not betrayal by friends, nothing can separate us from the love of Jesus Christ. Nothing. So let Christmas and Advent collide. We have much to learn from each. And in their collision, there is also reconciliation. For the judge is the Savior, is Jesus, our Lord, and our life. Amen. And now the peace of God that passes all understanding, keep our hearts and our minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.